kind of the plan for you? I mean, your fifth preseason game, I can't imagine, is very meaningful for someone who's been around.
Yeah, I mean, the first game is always the one where, you know, you get about 14 to 16 snaps and you kind of just, you know, take what you can get. But there's some good stuff in those snaps, and it felt good just to, you know, face somebody else, run some routes against somebody else with that game-type intensity, that game-type feeling, so it was good.
What were your feelings on the offense overall and how it functioned the first time out against them?
It started off a little rough, but I think once we kind of settled down, I think that third series when we kind of drove the length of the field and got a touchdown, I think that's us settling in, really being comfortable, and Eli getting comfortable with the play calling and us getting into a little bit of a rhythm. So that was good to see.
We actually probably haven't seen as much of you in training camp catching the passes and stuff. Is that a function of the play calling, or is that still being installed, your plays?
I don't have plays specifically for me, but I think that's just kind of the way it is. I'm begging for more reps out here in practice, but coach is kind of, you know, pulling me back, just making sure I'm staying healthy and making sure we're good to go for the rest of the preseason and into the regular season. But there are some plays that I, you know, when I go in there, coach kind of circles them and knows that I can take advantage. And if I get the ball, then so be it. But it's one day at a time. We're definitely still installing a lot more plays as we go along here.
He's not holding you back for any physical reason.
No, not at all. Just, you know, wanting to get the younger guys reps and getting everybody acclimated. So there's only enough reps to go around. So I just know that when I'm in there, I got to make the most of my reps and take it from there.
Any of those younger guys stand out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Marcus Harris, I mean, from the game he had and, you know, streaming into practice, he's been really taking advantage of his opportunity, a couple guys being down, things like that, and he's really coming to the forefront here as a good player. So we'll see how it goes, but he's definitely one of the guys that's standing out.
Is that a source of pride for you, being a guy that's done that before? I mean, taking Marcus's route to the NFL?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm always pulling, you know, I pull for everyone, but I'm always pulling for the guys, the no-name guys that kind of make it through the ranks and kind of make it through. And, you know, because I was there. I was in their shoes. I know what it feels like. I know exactly the things that he's going through in his mind and how it plays out. So those guys talk to me all the time and things like that. So I always pull for those guys, and I'm happy he's doing well and had a pretty good game this past Sunday.
Victor, Beckham is not an undrafted free agent, but he is a rookie, and he hasn't gotten out here a whole lot. Can you put yourself in his shoes, and how much is he really getting left behind by not being able to practice?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, as a first-round pick and as a rookie wide receiver especially, you want to get those reps. You want to get that game-type feel when you're out here, and it's tough because he hasn't gotten it, but he's being locked in mentally. He's being locked in, you know, physically in the training room, trying to get himself back out here and getting himself ready to play. So it's just a matter of us, you know, him feeling good, him feeling confident in his hamstring that he can come out here and play. But he's definitely ahead of the curve from a mental standpoint as far as the game plan. He's locked in everything. He knows all his plays. I'm quizzing him all the time. I'm giving him little things to think about while we're out here on the field, making sure he's locked in. So it's unfortunate he can't be out there, but his time will come.
I know you're working on your own stuff on offense during training camp, but have you been able to get a look at or feel for how good your secondary is going to be this year?
Our secondary is really good, and I know because they give me fits each and every day out here. And no, but it's good. It's good to go up against guys that are like that because that's what we're going to face all year long. And you know, guys are going to try to be physical and you know, press us and things like that, and we've got to be ready for that. And our defense is, you know, from what I've seen so far, they're really, really good. And I'm excited for this season, and they challenge us. They challenge us receivers to be the best that we can be, so it's only going to benefit both sides.
They seem a little loud out there, especially from Walter Thurman's area. Mm-hmm. But have you ever played against a cornerback as quiet as Rogers Cromartie seemed? He doesn't sound like there's much talking out there.
He talks a little bit. It might not be as loud as you guys can hear from the side over there, but he talks a little bit. He talks in a different way, but, I mean, his game speaks for itself. He's a very inquisitive player, very smart player. He knows exactly what he needs to do on each and every defensive call, and he sometimes plays above that. So he's a really good player, and he's definitely one that's made me better in his short time here already.
David Wilson came out here and talked to us today. I don't know if he's had a chance to kind of talk to the team or do it individually, but he said one thing that he would challenge you guys to be great. You know, be great as a team, be great as individuals. What kind of message does that send when you see what's happening?
It's great, man. I mean, he's a guy that you know, one of the heart and soul of our team, really energy guy, and you know, it's just unfortunate that something like that has happened to him. But it means a lot for him to still be connected to us, to still be around, to still feel like he's a part of this family, because he is. And you know, we just wish him the best. We know that it's not the ideal opportunity for him. He's been playing this sport since he was a little kid, and for him not to be playing anymore is really, really sad, honestly. And it's something that I can't relate to. No one can. And it's something that we just got to stick behind him and make sure he's ready in any way, shape, or form for the rest of his life and the rest of his other career.
Does that help put things in perspective for everybody? I mean, sometimes you're always going, but is that a moment where everyone slows down and really thinks about kind of how lucky they are to be here?
Yeah, 1,000%. It definitely it shows you how lucky and fortunate you are each and every day to come out here and play this game, and you really look at, you know, your injuries and the things that you might be complaining about, like a sore hamstring or a sore quad or, you know, an ankle that may be bothering you, and it's someone that, but you still get to come out here every day and have a chance to play. And he, you know, that opportunity has been taken from him for medical reasons, and it puts everything in perspective of life, and not just on the field, but your own life off the field and how it affects everyone around you. And it really took me back and got me thinking a little bit as well.